Brand new perik, brand new Mishnah, daf samach vav. Zok to Mishnah. Almon of the Kohen Gadol. Grusha b'chalutz of the Kohen Hedget. Hichnisa loy avdei malug, vi avdei tzvein barzel. Avdei malug lo yoichlu b'truma. Avdei tzvein barzel yoichlu. Now we've had already the Makoyer in our Gemara before, that when a Kohen marries a Bas Yisrael, under normal circumstances, our Mishnah is talking about where they did something illegal, and on one of the Kohen Gadol, Grush v'chutz l'Kohen Hedget. But under normal circumstances, a regular Kohen marries a Bas Yisrael, she's allowed to eat Truma. Why? Because it said in the Pasuk, V'ish ki yikne nefesh kinyan kaspoy. What means nefesh kinyan kaspoy? It's not V'ish, the Kohen ki yikne nefesh kinyan kaspoy. Hu yoichel boy. So Chazal Darshan, this is word is referring to both the purchase of Avodim, his koine kinyan kaspoy, and number two, he marries a lady, because we know from the first mission Maseches
Kiddushin,
one of them is Bekesef. So therefore, if a koyin marries a Bas Yisrael, she's allowed to eat Truma. What about the Avodim? Avodim also, because the Pasuk says, V'koyin ki yikne nefesh kinyan kaspoy. And an eved is also nikne b'kesef b'shtar u'b'chazaka. So it's also kinyan kaspoy. That works fine. Here we're talking about a koyin who's marrying a Bas Yisrael, and she brings in avodim with her to the marriage. Now we've learned in the past there's a difference between nechsi malug and nechsi tzoyin barzal. There's nothing different in the physicality of these two, the Nechsei Malug and Nechsei Tzoyin Barzel, only how it's described in the Ksuba. Rashi says that the Nechsei Malug don't even have to be described in the Ksuba at all. Or if they are described, it just simply says that she brings as a dowry to the marriage these Nechasim. The Nechsei Tzoyin Barzel are for sure described in the Ksuba. So what's the difference between Nechsei Malug and Nechsei Tzoyin Barzel? So as our Mishnah is going to explain in another couple of lines, the Nechsei Malug belonged to her at all times. And all he says to her is, if and when Chas V'Shalom this marriage terminates, either because the husband's going to die, or the husband gives her a get, she takes back the Nechsei Malug. They were here from the first moment, they were hers from the first moment, they were hers throughout the entire marriage, and she just takes them home with her if the marriage terminates. The only thing that the Baal has vis-a-vis his nechasim is that he's allowed to have the peiros. So for instance, if the nechasim are fields, for instance, the title to the field belongs to her. However, the profits every year, if the field produces crops, produce, fruits, vegetables, he's allowed to go and sell them and take the money for himself, and presumably he's going to use it for the mishpacha, so that they should have food to eat. But it belongs to her. The keren is hers. Just the payrois are his. Just the income. Nechsei Tzoyin Barzel is a totally different type of situation. What's in my Nechsei Tzoyin Barzel? There in the ksuba itself, we do a shuma. Shuma means we do an appraisal of the nechasim. And we say that these nechasim are worth $1,000. And he puts that into the ksuba. And he says, these Nechsei Tzoyin Barzel are worth $1,000. If and when this marriage terminates, regardless if the Nechasim have gone all the way down, or if they've gone all the way up, I owe you $1,000. Whether or not he's entitled to keep the Nechasim if this marriage terminates, let's say if there's a get, whether he can keep it, or whether he has to give it back, that will have a discussion in the Gemara. But the Gemara is telling us is that he gives her an ironclad guarantee. I give you back the value of these nechosim, perhaps even the nechosim themselves. What's the benefit of that? The benefit of that is very simple. Because if he's going to use it for the next 5 or 10 or 20 years, and as a result, they'll go down in value, then she has a guarantee. She's not going to lose a penny by the fact that he is using those nechosim throughout their marriage. That's why they're called tzoyin barzel, as if the tzoyin are made out of iron, made out of steel. You have nothing to worry about. You're going to get your money back. Good. What does it have to do with our Mishnah? It has to do with the Mishnah is that Avdei Maluk. Now let's talk about, instead of Nechsei Maluk, let's talk about Avdei Maluk. She brings in two sets of slaves. One of them are Nechsei Maluk, which means either they're not described in the Ksuba at all, or if they are described, it says they belong to her, they're hers, hers, hers. He only has the right to get the income from those Avodim. So if those Avodim are able to go and produce labor, services, he'll get the income. As opposed to Nechsei Tzoyin Barzel, Avdei Tzoyin Barzel, those belong to him. And he can do whatever he wants with them. And if Chas V'Shalom, these Avodim die, he has to pay whatever amount is the amount of the appraisal in the original Ksuba. So what difference does all of that make? Now we're talking about giving truma to the wife as well as to the avodah. And the Mishnah is going to distinguish between the Avdei Tzoyin Barzel, which belong essentially to him, and the Avdei Maluk, which belongs to her.
Does she bring in the...
All of these avodah, she's bringing in. She's bringing everything.
The Tzoyin Barzel she brings in?
Tzoyin Barzel and the Maluk and the Tzoyin Barzel. All of those she's bringing in. So everything.
The Barzel belongs to him, and the Lug belongs to her.
Exactly. And that's what the Gemara says. Exactly what you just said. Now, our case is a little bit muddied by the fact that it's not a kosher marriage. It's kosher in the sense that it's effective and valid, but it's an illegal marriage, because the Kohen Gadol is marrying an Almana, and a Kohen Hedjit is marrying a Grusha V'Chalutza. So, we'll talk about her shortly. But let's now talk, in the meantime, about the Avodah. Hechnisa loy Avdei Maluk. The Avdei Tzoyin Barzel, she brought in both. Avdei Maluk and Tzoyin Barzel. Avdei Maluk loy yoichlu b'truma. They will not eat truma. Why not? Because Avdei Maluk belonged to her.
She's not a Kohen, a Bas Kohen.
And she's not a Bas Kohen. And she cannot eat based on her marriage to her husband, because her husband is a Kohen Gadol and she's an Almana. This is an illegal marriage. So just like she is not going to go and eat, they are also not going to go and eat. But it goes even one step further. By the fact that this is an illegal marriage of Kahuna, she becomes transformed from a regular Bas Yisrael to a Chalola. And a Chalola means a disqualified Kohen or Kohenes, and therefore she's disqualified from ever eating truma for the rest of her life. Even if subsequently the husband dies and she marries a regular Kohen, she's just an Almana, not marrying a Kohen Gadol, she just married a Kohen Hedjit, makes a difference. Once you're a Chalola, she's disqualified for all time for the future. So therefore, says our Mishnah.
Do you have to, is a Chalot? Is the rule for a Kohen Hedjit marrying a Chalal Sheyotziyua or not?
Yes. Yes, certainly.
As opposed to Grusha Chalutza.
The marriage is effective, it's valid, but he has the mitzvah to get rid of her because they are Oivra and Isser.
Okay, so it's the same.
Same thing.
Chalal Grusha Chalutza.
Isha Zoyna V'Chalala Lo Yikachu, Isha Grusha Me'isha Lo Yikachu. They're all on the same level. Grusha, Chalala, Zoyna, Osir.
And their children?
Their children become Chalala. She becomes Nishalala, and the children become Chalala. Anyway, so back to our mission. Sechnis Aloy, she brought in Avdei Maluk, and she brought in Avdei Tzoyin Barzel. Avdei Maluk lo yoichlu b'truma. The Avdei Maluk will not eat truma. Why not? They won't eat truma because, number one, they are hers, not his. And she is disqualified from eating truma because she's a Chalala. So just like she can't eat, her Avodim can't eat. But Avdei Tzoyin Barzel yoichlu because they are deemed to be his. And he is a Kohen, and therefore he's machal b'truma. And now the Mishnah explains what we already explained outside. Me'elu hein Avdei Maluk, emeisu meisu lo, v'im hoisiru hoisiru lo. These avodim are considered to be her nechasim. If they die, it's her loss. If they go up in value, they appreciate, it's her gain, just like stocks. Even though the husband has to supply them with food, because since he wants to go and get the income from these avodim, so he has to go and feed them. Avodim without food are not going to last very long, so he has to supply them with food. However, he cannot feed them truma because they don't belong to him. They belong to her. And she cannot eat, and she cannot feed them because she's a chalola. So they can't eat truma. Oh, since he has to specify the value in the ksuba itself, And meisu meisu loy, the meisiro meisiro loy. It's his achrayis. It's his ironclad guarantee that she's going to get her money back. So therefore, if they die, it's his problem. If they go up in value, that's his benefit. And since all of the guarantees and all the responsibility are on his shoulders, because they're not eating as a result of her ownership, she doesn't own them. He is deemed to be the owner, and therefore, just like any kohen that buys an eved can feed the eved, these are his avodim. The best right his avodim is, because if there's a loss, he incurs the loss. If there's an excess, he gets the excess. He's chai b'akrayis. It's his. We're going to talk more about this in the Gemara shortly. Now, until now, we spoke about such an illegal marriage of an amon l'kayin gadol, a harusha b'chametz l'kayin hedget. Now we're talking about Bas Yisrael shenisus l'kayin v'chnisa loy avodim ben avdim luk ben avdi tzoyin bar. Now here we're talking about a regular Bas Yisrael marrying a normal kayin. We're not talking about any type of funny stuff, meaning anything illegal. It's a regular Bas Yisrael who's marrying a regular kayin. Nothing wrong with that. Everything is perfect. Everything is great. She brings in a bar. Now it's obvious why. Because just like the Bas Yisrael can go and eat truma, so therefore her avonim can also eat truma. She is now, if you will, a Mrs. Cohen, and as Mrs. Cohen, she has dinam like the Cohen himself. Just like the Cohen can eat, she can eat. So now her avodim can eat, and certainly the avdi tzoyin bazel, which are his avodim, right? And he's the Cohen, then they can certainly eat. So then there's no question about it. Both pairs of them can eat, both the avdi malug and the avdi tzoyin bazel. Finally, what happens if you have the other way around? A bas kohen shenisus liyisrael. Oh, she's a bas kohen. Well, until the marriage, she was eating truma, and her avodim were eating truma. V'yechnisa le'avodim ben avdim luk ben avdi tzimbad. So she brought into the marriage these avodim. Hari elu lo yoichlu betruma. They can no longer eat truma. Why can't they eat truma? Mamanavsha. If you're going to tell me that they happen to be his avodim, like the avdi tzoyin barzel, etzach Yisrael, and Yisrael can own as many avdi tzoyin barzel as he wants, they can't eat truma because he's a Yisrael, he's not a kohen. That's partial. And even vis-a-vis the avdi malug, as soon as a bas kohen marries Yisrael, she's no longer able to eat from truma devei nasha, that means truma from her father's home. She no longer can eat truma herself, and she no longer is empowered to go and feed truma to her avar.
But if she's in Garza or Miss Almana and returns to her father's
very
house,
good.
Then once again they get to eat as well.
And what does it say in the pasuk? Uvas koyin kisiya almana ugrusha v'zera ein lo v'shav elveis avia kinrel. That's exactly
and that presumably talking. Refers to the avodim as well.
Exactly. Mitch, and we'll get to more about that in the Gemara. So good, Daniel, yes. You're okay? Good. So we're up to the Gemara, Brother Shai. Zog the Gemara. The av de malug la yoichlu betruma amai lehavik kinyonoi shekona kinyin. Why do we say in the Reish of the Mishnah that only the avdei tzoyin barzel eat? Remember, what was the ratio of the Mishnah? An illegal marriage between an almana l'kohen gadol, kriyush v'chnus l'kohen hedget. We said that the avdei tzoyin barzel could eat because of him. The avdei malug cannot eat lo yoichlu betruma. Frank, the more of avdei malug lo yoichlu betruma, amai, why not? Lehebi ki kinyonoi shekona kinyon. Why don't we say that this is like the kinyan of a kinyan? What do you mean the kinyan of a kinyan? The kohen marrying the Bas Yisrael, that's kinyan number one. And the kinyan is effective because they're married. It's illegal. But they're married because kedushin toifsin b'chayav elav. So that's kinyan number one. And number two, she, his kinyan, also made a kinyan by bringing in the avdei malug, these avodim. So it should be like a kinyan affecting and acquiring another kinyan. What does that mean? The sanya. Oh, we have a price. Minayin lekoyin shenasa isha v'kana avodim shiyoyichlu betruma. First, let's go to the basics. How do I know that a kohen who marries an isha, or when it says v'kana avodim, it says Rashi oikana avodim. he buys a woman, giving her a ring, giving her money, or he buys a brother. How do I know that they can eat truma? Shneim is in the pasuk. The koyin ki yikne nefesh kinyan kaspoy hu yoichal bay. When a koyin acquires a nefesh, either a wife is a nefesh or the avodim are nefesh, he acquired them kinyan kaspoy hu yoichal bay. And the Gemara dashes hu yoichal bay as if to say hu yachil bay. He feeds them. Or the who is referring to the Kenyan Kasev.
Well,
the Kenyan Kasev, who Yoichel by?
It's Nefesh, which is Nekeva, so it would be he took Halbo, if that were the case.
Fine, okay, so therefore it's Mashmataka on him. It's not that the Nefesh, it's the Koyin. That he, who Yoichel by, he's Machel them. Regardless. Anyway, that's the din Oichelbay. Uminayin le'isha shekonsa avodim. Here we're not talking about an isha or avodim. Here we're talking about an isha that herself already previously bought avodim, or she's buying avodim now from kasbei mulug that she had. She got married to her husband, and she had her own bank account, and those were her own monies, her nechsei mulug, and now she used those to buy avodim, or it could be pre-existing avodim that she brought into the marriage. The avodov shekanu avodim, or if you have a regular kohen who owns avodim, and they in turn were wealthy avodim, and they bought avodim for themselves. And Rashi, of course, asked the obvious question: exactly, how could they have their own independent nechassim? Komashe kana isha, kana bala, komashe kana eved, kana rabbi. So it doesn't belong to the rabbi automatically. And Rashi says it's talking about one of those cases. He going shenosnu loy leeved al menas she'ein lerabbi rishus bay. In other words, it was a nice eved, and he found charm and favor in the eyes of somebody, and that somebody said, you know what, I like you so much, I give you $1,000, but I don't want that money to go to your other. I don't want the money to go to you. And you have the ability to do that. And now that money belongs to the Eved. And what is the Eved going to do? He'll buy a fancy car, and he'll buy this and that. He also buys an Eved to work for him. What's the halacha now? Since the Isha belongs to the Kohen, and the Avodim belong to the Isha, since the first level of Avodim belong to the Kohen, and these Avodim belong to those Avodim, can they also eat Petruma? Break the brisa. Uminayin leish shekon avodim and avodim shekon avodim. She yoichum truma. They also eat truma. She nemer the koyin ki yitnem nefesh kinyan kasbei hu yoichul bay. Now that's the same pasuk that we quoted before. But says Rashi, the words kinyan kasbei are superfluous. It could simply say the koyin ki yitnem nefesh hu yoichul bay. Why do I have to add the words kinyan kasbei? And therefore, I'm going to interpret the words the following way. The koyin ki yikne, a koyin that goes and buys. What did he buy? He bought, for instance, a wife, or he bought avodah. And then in turn, they bought nefesh. Who bought the nefesh? The kinyan kasbei bought the nefesh. So therefore, there's two levels of acquisition. The initial acquisition by the kohen of the isha or of the initial avodim, and they in turn, the kinyan kasbei, his initial acquisition, they in turn went and bought another acquisition, another nefesh. What's the din? Kinyonoi shekone kinyan, his kinyan, his isha or his avodim, that they in turn did their own kinyan, oicha, they can go and eat. Ah, so therefore, I have here in the Braisa that the Braisa says that a kinyan, shekana kinyan, is also ma'achil betrum. So that being the case, we come back to our original kasha. We started off the Mishnah and said that if the kohen gadol married an almona, or a kohen had married a grusha v'chalutza, and she brought in avdei meluk to the family, to the marriage, lo yoichel betrum, they can't eat truma. Why can't they eat truma? Didn't we just say she was brought into the family as a result that she was the initial kinyan, and she in turn has her second kinyan, that second level kinyan that she has, the avodim, and we just said now kinyonoi shekone kinyan is oichel, and that's how we started off the Gemara.
It's not a real kinyan gamor.
Why not a kinyan gamor?
Because he's the parents, the baal.
True, but the keren belongs to her.
The keren belongs to her, and so therefore
the fact that part of it, the payers belong to him, that's even a stronger reason why the Rabbanim
should be able to say because the Karen belongs to her.
True, but we just finished saying that's the import of the pasuk. Yeah. That if you have a kinyan, that buys a second level kinyan,
right,
which is what we have over here. The isha is a first level kinyan, right. She bought the Rabbanim, they eat. So, and in fact, that's the case of the Mishnah later on. And you have a Basi Shosh, and this is Lakoyan, right? 6-7 lines before the end of the Mishnah.
Yeah.
Why do they eat truma? Because kinyanai shekana kinyan. So therefore, why over here don't they say the same thing? Everywhere, I'll tell you what. If the Isha were able to go and eat, then the next generation, that is her Abana, would be able to eat. But she's there in the middle. And she cannot eat. Why can't she eat? Because she becomes Nishalala. She becomes Chalala. She's awesome. No, you can't say, you can't have the Koyach HaBen being Yasemi Koyach HaAf. Right? So the derivative can be stronger than the Makar. Since how do we want these Avodim to eat? Because of the fact that the Kenyan Kasboy bought in turn another Kenyan. The Kenyan Kasboy can't eat. Because she's Nishalala. She's a Chalala. So therefore the next generation, the Avodim that she bought, also can't eat. As though you have such a rule, Veloy. Very oral. If you turn a couple of pages, you'll see the next parak in Mir Tashem and Daf Ayin, only four dafim away. We start the new parak. Ha'orel, if you have a koin who's an orel. Orel means that unfortunately he didn't have a bris. Why didn't he have a bris? Because Rashi says, Mesu echav mach masmir. And anybody who's at Tamei, le yoichlu betruma. But says, Vaita the Mishnah. But Nishayim, Vavdeyan, yoichlu betruma. So I see that I have an orel. He himself can't eat truma. Ein oichel. But he can be machil. His wife can eat. The Avodim can eat. So Freyti Mora going back.
Can he be machil a woman that's also
truma? Why is the orel also to marry the woman? It's not a Ptsu Adak. It's going an orel.
Okay.
And the reason why he didn't have a meal is because Meisu Ech Machas Meal. He's an oinus. He's allowed to marry anybody. So getting back to our Mishnah. So our Gemara. The Gemara is answering the question. You know why the Avodim cannot eat? Because Kol Oichel Machil. In the normal circumstances, the wife can eat, so the Avodim can eat. Here, the wife cannot eat, she became a Chalala. Kosheina Oichel, ain't a Machil. Fake the Mavaloi Bari, Arab Chal Tamayim Sheinom Oichelin. They cannot eat. Umachilin, yet they can be Machil. To say the same thing over here, she's Taka Chalala, but let the Avodim look be able to eat. Ever the Gemara Hasim Pu Mayu Koiv Luhu. So the Gemara gives a cute expression. Pumayu means their mouths, Koiv Luhu, are hurting, are bothering them. In other words, the reason why the oil and tamayim cannot eat is really a temporary phase, and hopefully it will pass. Especially the tamayim. Tamayim, normal tamayim, goes to the mikveh, harav shemesh, and they're kosher. Everything is fine. Even the oil, even though temporarily he's not gemalit, that's because of medical issues in the family, maybe eventually a doctor will come along and say, I got a medicine for all hemophilia, and you can go and you'll be able to have a bris. So this is considered to be just a temporary, external, extraneous reason why they cannot eat. But it's not a permanent, inherent thing. Mashenkin, if you're talking about a halala, she's permanently disqualified. There's no way you can purify her. She can go to the mikvah 150 times, and you can spritz on her from the mechatos, and you can have her marry a Yisrael, a Koyin, anything that you want. Makes no difference. She'll never ever be able to eat again. And so that's why the Gemara says, oral and tamei, which is a temporary toothache, mouth ache, that's why they can't eat. Okay, they can't eat, but they can be machal. Over here, it's permanent. This lady will never be able to eat, and therefore the Abde Malug also cannot eat. I can give you a case of a mamzer who will never be able to eat, and yet he can be machal. Now the case of the mamzer is a very, very interesting case. The halacha is that when you have a Bas Yisrael that marries a Kohen, the fact that they are married already grants her the right to go and eat truma, because the Kohen can eat the nefesh kinyan kasper. What happens if Chas V'Shalom the Kohen passes away and she has no children? Then she becomes disqualified. She's not disqualified. She's no longer qualified to eat truma because she's no longer married to a Kohen. What happens if, however, she had children from that Kohen? Baruch Hashem. See, even though her husband passed away, she can go and eat truma in the zechus of her children. So far, so good. Now, what happens if one of those children, Rashi gives an example, for instance, the daughter eventually decides to go and marry a mamzer. It's not a nice thing. You're not allowed to. But that's what she did. And Kiddushin Toysim Chayyav Elavin, the daughter married a mamzer. And the daughter and the mamzer had a child. What do you think the status of that child is going to be? Also a mamzer. And now the daughter passes away, and maybe even the son-in-law, the mamzer passed away. All you have left is this einiko, the mamzer. What's the halacha? The halacha is the grandmother, meaning the original Bas Yisrael who married the kohen, can still eat truma. Why can she still eat truma? Because she was married to a kohen. Yeah, but the kohen died. But she has a child. She doesn't have a child. She has a grandchild. That's fine. Because it says, Vas kohen, kisiyah almana ugrusha, v'zera ein lo, and there are no kindalach, v'shav, and then she goes back to original status. But here we're talking about a situation, zera yesh lo.
So this is a case of yafa koach haben me koach ha.
Why is it yafa?
Because he can macho, but his father cannot macho. The father was the mamzer.
Good point. Good point. The truth of the matter, says Rashi, even though the Gemara uses the expression mamzer, you don't even have to talk about mamzer. You could talk about an einikuluz Yisrael.
Yeah.
You have a Bas Yisrael married a kohen. They had a son or a daughter. Let's talk about a daughter. That daughter is a Bas kohen. Mommy can eat because of the daughter. The daughter subsequently marries a wonderful Ben Yisrael, a yeshiva man, a Talmud Chacham, Yerei Shemayim, all the Malish Shekasa B'Torah, and they had a regular child. And then never the daughter passes away. And the son-in-law, Yor Nish, makes no difference. That Einikul, who is Yisrael, is also Ma'achil, his grandmother, Bitruma, even though he's Yisrael. But because of the fact that he's a Zera Yeshloi from the original husband, she can go and eat Truma.
Just amplifying the fact that even a guy's a mamzer.
Good. So Rashi asked the Kasha, why didn't he talk about Yisrael? But anyway, getting back to Mavari Mamzer, you have a mamzer. Sheinoch, he himself cannot go and eat. The reason why he can't eat is because the mamzer. Umachel, and he allows his grandmother to eat. So you can see that you have an Eina Oichel, who's a machel. Omravina, I'm going to change the lashon a little bit. Before I said, Kol Oichel Machel, Kosha Eina Oichel Eina Machel. No, change that. Kinyan Oichel, Ka'oma. Kinyan Oichel, Machel, Sheinoch Oichel. The Kinyan Oichel means the original level. Remember, we talked about the original Kinyan Kasboy, who in turn bought a second level of acquisition. So, if the first level, the Kinyan Oichel, meaning our case, the woman, she's the first Kinyan, Koyan Kinyikna Nefesh Kinyan Kasboy, he married her by giving her Kinyan Kesef. If that Kinyan is Oichel or Ochelet, if she can go and eat, Machel, then she can allow others to eat, meaning her avod. If she herself can't eat, why can't she eat? Because she's a chalola. So even though she's the Kenyan, she cannot be machel. So the kashas that you ask for an oral and for mamzer are really irrelevant, because there the eating is not because of a Kenyan. It has to do with the fact he's a koyan, he's an oral, he's a mamzer, and nothing to do with Kenyan. If you're talking about a Kenyan, if the Kenyan, first level Kenyan can eat, then the second level in Kenyan can eat. But the first level can't eat, and here she can because she's a chalal. So that's answer number one, why the Abdi Malug of a illegal marriage among the Kohen Gadol, the Abdi Malug cannot eat because she can't eat, then the Avodim can't eat. For Rav Amar Rav Zayv and New Teretz, Midiraisa Mechalachli, the truth of the matter is that those Abdi Malug should be entitled to eat. So why not? Rabban Hutikazi Behu, Kadesh Toimar, Ani, Aini Oichel. Avodai einan oichlo zoyne hi atzloi hilkach osi lafuk. What the Gemara is telling us is we want to incentivize this lady to insist on a divorce. I'm out of here. If she thinks that she's just being over on a technical problem, grusha the kohen hevid, yes, the chakleina is said, she'll stay married to him. If we say you cannot eat truma, okay, I can understand I can't eat truma because after all this is illegal. Good. My avodim can't eat? I can't believe it. After all, these avodim belong to my husband, and he's feeding them, and he's working with them. If the tzayin bazel, they belong to him, and even if they're next to him, look, he gets all the income. Even they can't eat? I see this is not just a technical, minor matter. I see that this is big time. This is a big issur. That being a big issur, she's going to say to her husband, you know, we should really cut the bond. We are being over an issur every day. So again, Rabbanu de Gazi Bahu, the Chachamim made a special gzeira, that she should say, Ani eni archeles, I'm not eating. Avodei enam oichem, they're not eating. Zayni etzlai, I must be just like a zayna. In other words, we're living in sin. And then hopefully she'll put enough pressure on him, they'll give her a get, and that'll be the end of the matter.
Will the Avodim Barzel be then be able to eat once they get divorced?
Well, once they get divorced, they won't be able to eat because they won't belong to her anymore. They won't belong to him anymore. They'll all go back to her.
The Avodim Barzel also go back to her?
After the marriage, they all go back to her. Now, the question is whether the actual physical Avodim go back to her or only the value of the Avodim. And that's going to be a question on the last two lines of the Gemara, which we're going to see shortly in the end. So really, you have two answers to our question. We're going to have now answer number three. Ravashi Yomar. Again, the question is, why are the Avdei Maluk not able to eat? Ravashi Yomar Gzeidah Shemetachil Mi'achar Misa. And I'm afraid is that eventually, Chas V'Sholem, the Kohen is going to die, and she's going to continue feeding these Avdei Maluk with Truma even post-mortem. And that's certainly awesome, because the Kohen died. So she can't go and feed those Avodim Truma. Now this Terz of Ravashi is a very shvera Terz. Says he, Morris, why are we talking about this illegal business on one of the Kohen Gadol? And when the Atabasi shows this is the Kohen Loitachim. Every single time a Basi Shol that marries a Kohen, we should say they cannot go and eat Truma. You know why? Because Eidah Shematachal Achamisa. Maybe the husband will die and she'll continue feeding them. And that it's Aser because the husband is no longer. So you're not worried about the husband dying. You know, Dail Simcha Bishata, Dail Tzerasa Bishata. So it was like the same thing as the Gabi on one of the Kohen Gadol. Says Imor, you're right. El Omer Ravashi, a slight modification. Balmona Kohenis. The Asilo Iruye. You have an Almona who is a Bas Kohen herself. A Kohen, Kohen Godoil, married an Almona who is a Bas Kohen herself. He's not allowed to. Almona the Kohen Godoil, prohibited. Now, when she was an Almona the first time, she was a Bas Kohen, she had her Avodim, she became an Almona, she continued eating Truma, and the Avodim continued eating Truma, even though she was an Almona, because she's a Bas Kohen, they're her Avodim. Now what happens? She marries the Kohen Gadol. If we're going to allow her to continue eating, she can't. Halal. Okay, not her. If we're going to allow the Avdei Maluk to continue eating, you know what's going to happen? If and when the Kohen Gadol is going to die, she's going to say, you can continue eating. Why can you continue eating? Don't you remember 5 years ago I became an Almana to the other Kohen, and he died, and you kept on eating. Because I'm a Bas Kohen, and you're my Avod. So, keep on eating. So now when I marry the Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol died, again, I'm an Almona. Nebuchadnezzar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish me, and I'm Almona again. And again, you continue eating. So that's what the Gemara says. Almona Kehen is the Asa Leruya. She's going to go and pass it. She's going to be a Moira Hayro. And she's going to go and say, Meikara, after Betruma, last time when I became an Almona, I ate Betruma Dimei Nash. Because of the fact that I'm a Bas Kohen, and I kept on feeding them. Not because of my husband, he died, but I'm a Bas Kohen. Imtzvi Leilahai. And when I married Nahai, meaning this, Kohen Godov, Achle Betruma, the Gavroi, they kept on eating now the truma of my husband. Very nice. Vahashta. And now that Nebuchadnezzar, the husband, passed away, Hadalila Milzikamaisa, go back to the good old days when I was single, when I was Truma de Menashe, and the Kahanim will eat Truma de Menashe. Vulayodan, she doesn't realize the Mikarla Shivisla Nafsha Chalola. The first time when she became an Almana, she was just a regular Almana, Nebuchadnezzar, but she wasn't a Chalola. Hashta Shivisla Nafsha Chalola, by living together with the Kohen Gadol, she became a Chalola. Therefore, since she's a Halala, then she can no longer allow these Kahanim to continue eating Truma because of her. Halala can't go, and Halala is just like Israelis. They can't eat because of her. So as long as they're married, Mitzad Ikra, then they could eat because of the Kohen Gadol. But I'm afraid the Kohen Gadol is going to go and die. And she's going to say, well, last time I was on Almana, they ate. Now in Almana, they're going to eat. But she didn't realize that she became a Halala, and therefore they cannot eat. Says Yomar, that svara is a very good svara if we're talking about Almana the Kohen Gadol, that she was an Almanas Kohen the Kohen Gadol. That's a good svar. But our Mishnah says Almana Stam. So Almana Stam could refer to Almana Yisrael, that she was a Bas Yisrael all along. So then there's no svar to go into. Well, the last time when I was an Almana, the Kehanim, the Avadim kept on eating. They didn't keep on eating because she was a Bas Yisrael. So it only makes sense this svar, like Ravashi said, about Almana Kehanis. So to Martinek, Almana Kehanis, you can make such a Gezeira. Almana Bas Yisrael, Ma'ikal Meimen, there's no such Gezeira applicable to the Almana's Bas Yisrael. Says Yimon, you're right, but Almanusa loy pligi rabban. Word loy pligi means over here loy pluk. The chum didn't make a difference. You know, they said a set rule. All almanas, period. Even though the svar only really applies to almanas kohenes, they didn't want to start making these fine distinctions. Almanas kohenes azoy and almanas bas kohenes bais yisrael azoy. They said across the board, an almana marries a kohen gadol, then after this marriage terminates, the next maluk will not be able to eat. So even when they are married, they shouldn't eat, because I'm afraid if we allow them to eat now, they're going to continue marrying post-mortem after the husband passes away. And they can't, because even if she was a Bas Koyin, she became Nischalila. Therefore, they have no right to eat. Okay, with this, we've finished the discussion about the first halacha of our Mishnah. But now the Gemara asks a question, a generic question. The generic question is, any time a husband marries a wife, and the wife brings in a dowry, and part of the dowry are nechsei tzoyin bazel. And we already explained nechsei tzoyin bazel. It means that you write into the tzuba, I'm bringing in a car, an eved, a field, and we had it appraised by the American Appraisal Institute, and they told us that it's worth $1,000. So we already said in the Mishnah, what happens if this marriage terminates? Then he's chai b'chayis, he has to go and give her $1,000, come heaven or high water, if the avadim died, if the fields fell apart, if the car was in a car crash, it makes no difference, because poksu poksu loy, haisiro haisiro loy, it's all his headache, all his ironclad guarantee to return either the item or the funds after the marriage terminates. But now we have a question over here. What happens now if the marriage terminated? For instance, he gave her a get, and she wants back the original avodim lamashul, and he said, no, since in the shtar it says that the avodim are worth $1,000, give me $1,000, I'll keep the avodim for myself. Who's right and who's wrong? So this is really a mesechtes ksubis shaila. It's not really a yevamis related shaila. The only reason why we bring it is because we're going to bring a raya from our mishnah. Is it my two lines from the bottom? Hamachnes shum lebal. Shum means that she brought a nechsei tzoyin bazel, that had a shuma that were appraised. Here I'm married clear on the tell us. The marriage is over. I want my kalim back. No, it says in the shtar, in the ksuba, that it's worth $1,000. I give you a check, I give you cash, $1,000, and I'm keeping the kli. I didn't mean who is right and who is wrong, who has the upper hand in this dispute. Is a machloikis. Rav Yehuda Amar Hadin Imma. She can insist, I want back my original kalim. Rav Ami Amar Hadin Imma. No, the din is with him. Now, what's the reason for Rav Yehuda? Rav Yehuda Amar Hadin Imma. Yishem Shvach Beisavia Didahi. You don't have it. Shvach Beisavia is what we would call today sentimental value. I didn't get these kalim out of the Velterai. My father gave it to me, and my father inherited it from his father and from his mother and his grandmother. This goes in the family, eight generations, this cost, or this watch, or this ring, this diamond. I have for years and years, so I want to get it back. I mean, I have a sentimental attachment to it. You, husband, you have no attachment to it. You just look at the money. You keep the money, give me back the kli. Rabami Omar Din Imoy. Why? Let's bring it right from our Mishnah. Kim the Omar, since it says in our Mishnah, Mesu Mesalah, if these avodim die, it's his headache. It's his loss. The Moisir, if they go up in value, they appreciate Hoysiruloi. He gets the appreciation and value. Hoyin v'chai v'achr yusan, since he has the full achrayis, the full responsibility, and he gives the ironclad guarantee, I'm going to give you $1,000, come heaven or high water, it makes no difference, it goes up in value, it goes down in value, I'm going to pay you. Therefore, yoichlu, it says in the Mishnah that these avdei tzoyin barzo eat as opposed to the avdei maluk. So we see from that clearly that these are his nechasim. If it's his nechasim, it belongs to him. And therefore, if the marriage terminates, he says, I give you the money, but I'm keeping the avodim or the kelim for myself. Clear cut machlekes. Rav Safra. So Rav Safra now is challenging Reb Ami. What did Reb Ami say? Reb Ami says, I see from the Mishnah, it says, Im may sir aloy. So therefore it says, Rav Safra, Miktani, the Hain Shaloy. Doesn't say anywhere in the Mishnah that they actually belong to him. He is given the guarantee, and this is an oil on his shoulders, and he has the burden of proof, and he has the burden of giving it. All of that is true. But Lamas, it's not his. They belong to her. And he has a chrayus to go and pay back the money if these are no longer around. If the avodim died, he has to give the money. But if the avodim is still around, and she says, this eved, I remember I had this eved when I was 5 years old. He was already bringing in food. He was already working for the family, blah, 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 blah.
But she'd have to reimburse divorce it with the...
He doesn't have to reimburse.
Increased value of the eved.
You're talking about if the value went up or down.
Yeah, value went up.
The Gemara assumes at the moment that there's no change in value.
Okay.
What happens if, in fact, there is? We're going to talk about that at the tail end of today's talk. The moment we're assuming that he put in $1,000, and if you would sell these avodim in the market, they'd only get $1,000. So she is not profiting, he's not profiting. It's only a question of, does he get the item and she get the money, or does he take the money and she get the item? That's the whole shot. It's Omer of Safra, Miktani, the Hain Shaloi, doesn't say in the mission they belong to him. It's Hoyle, Chayv, Achri, your son. Since they're under his achrayas, he has their full responsibility. And that's why they can eat. But it doesn't belong to him. They don't really belong to him. They really belong to her. And so therefore, says Rav Safra, Rav Ami, the Rai from Amishnah, is a Shvach Rai. She's saying, just because he has this Chiv Achrayas, they can eat Truma. But I'll show you that's not true. Yisrael Shesocha Parah Mikoyin. What happens if a Yisrael was a Socher? Socher means he rented a Parah from a Koyin. Harizeh Yachilena Kashine Truma. Even though the Yisrael is the one that's in charge of this Parah for the next week or two, right? He leased it, right? He go to Hertz rent a car. Here he went to Hertz rent a Parah. See, he rented a parah from the kohen. He continued feeding the parah karshine truma. Karshinim is fodder that you give to an animal of truma. Why? Because it doesn't belong to him, it belongs to the kohen. On the other hand, kohen shesach a parah miyisrael. Alva bishim is in a seha olav, even though he has to go and supply it with food, the kohen. Then a karshine truma. He can't go and give truma. So what do I see from this? Even though the sochir has chiyuve achrayis. What chiyuve achrayis? We learned that in the Bavis, that every sochir has chiyuvim of gneva v'aveda. That if the item is stolen or gets lost, he's got to pay for it. So he has achrayis. But nevertheless, lo yoichlu, and in our Mishnah it says, yoichlu. It sounds like it really belongs to him, and not just chiyuv achrayis. It sounds like mamish shaloi. This is more of a tizbra. Your rye is a bad rye, because nihinami the machai b'gneva aveda. Even though Taka, the sochir, the renter, the lessee, is chai b'gneva aveda, a b'ainzei, b'kachsha, u'b'nifchas tamea mi machayiv, is he chai b'ainzein? If chas shalom, there's a huge tornado or hurricane that just takes this parah and takes it from New York and deposits it in California, that's an oinus, it's not my fault, then he's off the hook. Only a shoyl is chai b'ainzein, not a sochir. So it's not a full-fledged chai b'ainzein. So you're not talking apples to apples. In our Mishnah, chai b'chayusan, it's an ironclad guarantee, he has to pay back the $1,000. Here, it depends. If it's an oinus, he doesn't have to pay. Holy damn, the safe, if you want to bring a parallel, a safe of that same Mishnah that you just quoted, when I'm the Yisrael Shisham Parah Mikoyin, he didn't just go and rent a parah from a Koyin, but rather, the Koyin says, I'm afraid I may never get this parah back. Or maybe the parah is going to go down in value. Or who knows what's going to happen. So Yisrael says, you know what? Let's go and take the parah to the American Appraisal Institute. We'll find out how much the parah is worth. $500. Okay? I, Yisrael, guarantee you that if I don't give you back this parah, you get $500. Full of Christ. Even b'ainzin. Lo yachilena karshine truma. Yisrael cannot go and give truma. Why can't you go? The Israel goes and gives Tumah. I, this parah belongs to a Kohen, because now it's considered to be his. He took upon himself full achrayis shisham parah. Can't give Tumah. It's Israel. Aval Kohen shisham parah mi Israel. If the Kohen is the one that gave the ironclad guarantee and said, if this parah gets lost, it gets stolen, it gets taken by a hurricane to California, in all cases I give you the $500, then Yachilena Kashiri to Mamish belongs like his. And so therefore that's similar to our case, says the Gemara. And that's the reason why Rav Safra's challenge is to Rav Ami. And he says to Rav Ami, it doesn't say in the Mishnah that Vehen Shalai, it just says because of the Achrai is Yechelu. In that case, by the Shum, that the lessee was Shum, it's also he takes upon himself Achrayis and Yechelu. But left unsaid, says Rashi, what happens after the lease term is over, right? He leased the parah for 2 weeks. 2 weeks are over, he has to give the parah back. He doesn't have the right to say, I give the money, I guaranteed you $500. No, I want my parah back. Oh, so you see, even if it happens to be an ironclad guarantee, the owner gets the original nechasim back. Same thing over here. Even though in the Ksuba the husband wrote, ironclad guarantee, if it goes up in value, down in value, makes no difference, I'm going to go and pay. Nevertheless, she has the upper hand, Hadin Ima.
That's the price. What's Rabbi Yehuda?
So therefore, the Gemara is asking Rav Safra, give a challenge to Rav Ami, and he said, I'm sorry, a challenge to Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda that said, Hadin
Ima.
I'm getting confused. Rav Ami said, Hadin Imai. He's the one that has the upper hand and he can go and keep the Nechasim. Says Rav Safra, I respectfully disagree, because even though he has all the Nechrayas, it's still not his. As long as it's not his, it's hers. Hadin Ima, she can get it back. So Rav Safra is favoring Rav Yehuda over Rav Ami. And the Gemara in fact said, I bring you a parallel. What's the parallel about the case of the lessor and the lessee? That even though the lessee, if he is a Kohen, he's machal betruma because of the fact that all the achrayis is on him. When the lease term is over, he has to give it back. Here too, even though whilst they're married, the baal is machal betruma, true, all the achrayis is on him, true, but when the marriage ends, she gets the nechasim back, she gets hadin ima. So that was Rav Safra's challenge. We don't have, it's not as if we have a tiyufta to Rav, the Reb Ami Tiyufta. He's just saying, is the raya that you brought Reb Ami from our Mishnah is not a good raya. Why? Because although it's Taka Yishkai Bachrayis and he's Ma'achil, but nevertheless it still belongs to her at the end of the day. Now go to Gemara Yetzvayter. Yosef Rabba Rav Yosef Bishaloi Pirkei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman just gave a shiur, and now we're towards the end of the shiur. And Rabbi Rav Yosef is sitting there, Yasvik Amri. Tani Kavasa Rav Yehuda, the Tani Kavasa Rav Ami. We have two braises. One is like Rav Ami, and one's like Reb Yehuda. Tani Kavasa Rav Ami. Avdi Tzayin Barz. Yoitzin B'Shem Ba'ayin the Ish, Avloi the Isha. As we know, if the owner of an Eved goes and punches the Eved, and Nebuch, the Eved loses a Shein or an Ayin, then the Eved goes free. Okay, who's the owner of these Avonim? It's only if an owner knocks out the Shein B'Ayin. If a stranger knocks out the Shein B'Ayin, he has to pay damages. However, if it's the owner, Yoitz B'Shein B'Ayin. So who's the owner? So says the Bryce, Avdi Tzayin Basel, Yoitz B'Shein B'Ayin the Ish. If the husband gave a punch and the Eved lost the Shein B'Ayin, he goes free. Avloi the Isha, but not to the woman. So what does this suggest? Who do the Tzayin Basel belong to? To the husband. Hadin imay. It's a charayu to Reb Ami. Hadin imay. Tani Gavasa Drav Yehuda. Hamachnes Shum LeBala. Our case that she brought in Tzoyin Barzel to the Baal, written with the Shum. Shum means with the appraisal set forth in the Shtar, in the Ksuba. And what's about Limkar La Yimkar? He's not allowed to sell it. Why can't he sell it? It's Tzoyin Barzel. It's his. Oh, it's like Reb Yehuda. Hadin imay. It's still hers. But the Bryson continues. I'll even tell you more than that. even if he brought a dowry into the chasen, not only she, but he brought a dowry, and he wrote into the shtar that either I'm going to give you these avodim if the marriage terminates, or I'm going to give you money if the marriage terminates. If he wants to sell these nechasim, lo yimkar, because it doesn't belong to him, it belongs to her. Hadin imo, just like Rabbi Yehuda said. Machrushneim leparnasa. Rashi says machrushneim means if either one of them sold leparnasa, the parnasa that there should be food at home. Rashi says lavdafki, he's just talking orcha demilza. Normally, a person doesn't sell his personal effects unless he needs to raise cash because he need money for the house. The Omar, what paskin? Habal moitzmiyad halakuchais. Why? Because the sale is ineffective. The only one that can go and sell is she. If he sells, he can stand on his head. So garnish health, that he cannot go and sell. And habal moitzmiyad, he can terminate the sale. Anyway, so we see we have one brisa like Rav Ami, one brisa like Rav Yehuda. Fine. This is Rava speaking. Remember Rava. Rava says Halacha is like Rav Yehuda. What did Rav Yehuda say? Hadin ima, she gets the next turn back. Only Rav Nachman. V'atanya kavasei de Rav Ami. Rava said this is the name of Rav Nachman. He says to Rav Nachman, didn't we have a brisa that said beferish kavasei de Rav Ami? That's the two brises that we just brought. That the first brisa said avit zayin baze yoytim meshen ba'ayin leish. So don't we have a right to Rav Ami? L'chayr, the Gemara should have answered, yeah, but I have another brisa like Rav Yehuda. The Gemara doesn't answer that. The Gemara instead says, Avagav desani kavosi Rav Ami, even though there's a brisa that says Rav Ami, mistavra time of Rav Yehuda, mishim shvach beisavir. I still think logically the seichel dictates who has the right to the original nechasim. She does. I mean, that's only logical. It's only ethical. It's only moral. She brought these avodim or these diamonds or these fields from her parents, from her grandparents. It really goes back six generations. How can you go and say that this miserable husband who's giving her now a get, that he should take it and just pay her money? Not fair. She should give back the original chasim. So therefore, even though this taka b'risa like Rav Ami of the svara is like Rav Yehuda. So Agmar tells us a story. He had said there was a lady, the Ayla Leila Gavra, that she brought into the marriage, Itzla de Milza Biksu Vasa, a very nice, Itzla de Milza means a very nice coat, or a very nice jacket, in among Chassidim they would say, a nice Bekisha, a nice Yibitza, you know, a very nice flowing coat, which is very pretty and very handsome, Biksu Vasa. Okay, what happened? Shochid, Nebuch, the husband passed away. Shaklu Yasmi, the Yisoyimim took that beautiful Begit, Upesua Amisna. They spread it on top of the mess for Tachrich. Hoi. Omarova, Kanya Misna. The mess is Koina. It belongs to him. And she cannot get it back. She can get back the value, but she doesn't get back this Itzla de Milza, even though she brought it into the marriage. Omli Nanoi, very interesting name. Omli Nanoi, Breda Rav Yosef, Breda Rava, Lirav Kahana. How did Rava just paskin? Kanya Misna, Vomarava, Omram Nachman, Halacha, Kirav Yehuda. And Rav Yehuda holds in any Nechosin that she brings in, Hadain Ima, and therefore she should go and say, Yisaimim. Give me back that misna, give me back that itzla de milza, that's mine. You have no right to go and give it to father. Go and buy your own takrichen. I want back that itzla de milza. It's such a beautiful coat and such a beautiful beksha. I want it back. So how did Rava say, kone misna? It's like chas v'sholom, any person that never passes away, even though clothing that he wears for takrichen have a din of isser hanor, but you can't go and take somebody else's. You can't go and take my jacket, your jacket, his jacket away, put it on the mess. Okay, asma no, belongs to the mess. Stop the messes. You can't go and ask somebody else's.
It can't
item.
Be coined.
Can't be coined, exactly. Is omalei milay meider of Yehuda the mechusar gimah. Oh. So therefore he asked, so why is Koina Misna Omalei? So he answered back, this is Rav Kahana speaking, Mi loy moider Rav Yehuda de mechusar gavayna, even Rav Yehuda that says Hadin Imar, but he will certainly have to agree that if she wants to take back the nechasim, she's going to have to go with a collection case. In other words, if he doesn't, if the husband or if the Yorshim refuse to go and hand it over, she's going to have to hire a lawyer. She's going to have to go to Bezdin. She doesn't have possession of the item. The Yisoyimim have possession of the item. Or in the case of the husband and wife, the husband has the possession of the Nechsei Tzoyin Baz. She needs Govayna. The kingdom Chusa Govayna Bishusekoi. It's in his Rishus. So what difference does it make? It's in his Rishus. Rabbi Latami Diyama Rabbi. We had this, remember, a couple of weeks ago. Hegdish, Chometz, the Shekhra Mafki Midei Shibud. The rights that she has to these Nechasim, although Rabbi Yehuda says Aden Ima, it's Taka true. She has rights to the Nechasim, but she doesn't have the possession. What do they say in English? Possession and 9/10 of the law. She doesn't have the possession. Who has the possession? The husband, or in this case, the Yisoyimim have possession. She wants to extract it from them. She's Mechusa Gavayin. She has rights to it. Rights is like she has a lien on it. Take away that lien. Now here we don't have a case of Hegdish, but Rashi says our situation of putting it on the mess and making it osir banot is like a form of Hegdish. You're makdish it for the mess. And therefore, since they had possession, and they're makdish, that takes away her shibin, meaning her rights. We have one next Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda. Echnisa lo yishniket. Excuse me, Bal Tfila. Excuse me, Kazan, please call me.
Hello.
Please wait 2 or 3 more minutes, okay? Good. Om Rav Yehuda. Now we're talking about the same Rav Yehuda now. Remember what Rav Yehuda say? That if it's the same value, Hadin Ima, she gets back the original chasa. Now we're getting to your question that you asked before. And that is, Yechnisa lo yishnei kelim, the Elevzus. She brought into the marriage 2 beautiful watches, and the 2 watches together were worth 1,000 zuz, and that's what they put into the ksuk. Bishibchu, and Baruch Hashem, they were married for 10 years, 20 years, and appreciation. And now the 2 watches are worth $2,000. She, of course, would like to have the watches, but he says, maximum I only owe you $1,000, because in Poksu Poksaloi, then Hoysiru Hoysiruloi. I get the profit. It went up in value. It belongs to me. So I gave you an ironclad guarantee, but only to the value of $1,000. And Rabbi Yehuda says, but she's entitled to the original chasid. Oh. Zokter Yehuda, Echad Nagloss Mitzubasa. One of them she should take for the Ksuba because one of them is worth already $1,000. So Hadin Ima, she gets that 1,000. She doesn't get the cash. She's entitled to get the original Chasim because Shvach Beis Avir. What about the other one? She's not entitled to get more than $1,000 value, and she already got $1,000 value. The Echad Nagloss is dumb and Nagloss. She could pay out of her own pocket $1,000 and take back the second watch. Why? She's entitled to go and pay for it and get it back, and he cannot say, no, I'm holding on to it forever. She can get the second one, but she has to pay for it. That's how we started off the Gemara. If it's exactly worth the same amount, one watch for $1,000, I can understand. That she should have the right to go and force him to sell the second watch. I don't have to sell the second watch. You already got your one watch. It was worth $1,000. We're done. Kamash Malan, no, she's entitled because Shvach Le Sevilla to go and force him to sell the second one to her for the $1,000. Have a wonderful day. Hitch will continue tomorrow morning.
Ksuba's only Messiah Jews. How is she taking $1,000?
We're talking about base, and you're talking about Nechsi Malugan,
so it's more than that. Okay.